here, 2 seconds. All right, welcome to Grace Point Wednesday night. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here. I was down in Florida. Me and Pam took a vacation for a week, and Jace did a great job. I watched some of the first one there live, and I got to hear him, his preaching Sunday. Really appreciate Jace filling in. I'm sporting a new shirt, and shirt says, what does it say?
Lighthouse.
Pam and I went to a church. Of course, this church here used to be named the Lighthouse before we came here. And Pam and I went to a church in Panama City Beach, and the church was named the Lighthouse. And the pastor had one of these shirts on. I asked the lady that was standing next to us how we'd get one, and they gave both Pam and I a Lighthouse shirt. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was funny because I was at a gym, and I asked this lady if she knew of any good churches in town. And she goes, yeah, there's a church called the Lighthouse. It made me laugh. And I thought that was a sign. Like, really? So that's where we went to church, and it was a good church. If I was back in Panama City Beach, I'd go to the Lighthouse. If you ever wind up there, I'd recommend the church to you. It was awesome. So, but it's good to be back. And I want to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to get into the Word. Father, thank you for the Scriptures. They're exciting. It's awesome to be in the Word. I've always prayed for this congregation that you would give us a love for the Word of God. The Word's powerful, and especially when it really penetrates our heart. I pray tonight, Lord, that I can do a good job of getting out the information and revelation that you've given me. Open our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Sunday, as always, I was preaching, and I always leave, and I always tell Pam, you know, man, I just, so much more to get out, and so much I'm trying to say that I can't get out on Sunday. So I thought I'd come back and give it another try today, what I was trying to say. When you preach on Sunday, you got 40 minutes, 45, and you might have 3 hours of information. You know how it is, Charlie. So you got to condense, you know, you've studied all week, and you condense, you know, 10, 12, 15, 16 hours of study, and you condense it down to 40 minutes, you know. And then you've got, you know, a lifetime of revelation in there sometimes. So I want to talk about the kingdom of God, and it's one of my favorite subjects. And Sunday I was talking about after Jesus died and he was going to be ascending to the Father, he was going to go back to the Father. He met one last time with his apostles. Now, Charlie, if you had a company or a corporation and you had spent 3 years training these guys, and then you were going to meet with them one more time, you reckon you'd talk to them about the most important things, you know? Yeah, you're not going to talk about the weather, you know? They're going to take over the corporation, so you're going to talk to them about the most important things. It's just fascinating. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he tells them, hey, he goes, don't leave Jerusalem until you have the promise of the Father. And I love that. In my translation, it has capital P, like the promise of the Father. This is a big deal. In fact, Galatians 3:14 says that they received the promise of the Spirit by faith. Okay, it's a big deal. That's what the whole covenant of Abraham culminated in, the church receiving the power of the Spirit. That was what the whole thing, we're no longer under the dispensation of law. And again, I'll say it 100 times, nothing wrong with the law, the problem was with people. So God had to make a new covenant where he put his law in our heart, he put his Spirit in our heart. So he's saying to his followers, the ones that are going to take the kingdom and advance it, he said, don't go anywhere till you get the promise, which you've heard of me. And when they came together, they asked him, and they said, Lord, this is a powerful question. They said, will you at this time, I got to pace a little bit on this, said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now think about this. Jesus spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus talked to them for 40 days, he must have talked to them about restoring the kingdom to Israel. because the question they asked him had to pertain to what they were talking to him about. And they said, I think it's like in verse 5 or 6, they said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" What was their focus? Was their focus preaching in all the world? No. Was their focus preaching to the Gentiles? Not at all. Their focus was on Jesus's earthly kingdom and the restoration of the temple, of the restoration of the throne of David, and Jesus being the son of David, sitting on that throne. And get this, in the book of Luke, he said in Luke 22, I think it's verse 30. You can check me on it, Charlie. It could be verse 12. I think it's verse 30. Luke 22, either verse 12 or verse 30. He said, "You 12 are going to sit on 12 thrones and judge," what? "The 12 tribes of Israel." So they're thinking, Jesus is going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem, and we're going to judge the 12 tribes, just like Jesus said. That was their expectation. And when they asked him that, all he said to them was, he didn't say, "No, you're wrong," or "I'm not interested in that," or "That's not going to happen." He said, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. You don't know when it's going to happen. But you'll receive power, and you're going to take that power, and I want you to preach the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Now, question. When he said that, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, were they thinking they were going to go to the Gentile nations? No. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue that they were going to go to the Gentiles. The children of Israel were scattered all over the world. They had a huge group of Jewish people that were in Alexandria. In fact, they might have had more there. And they have translations of the Hebrew text. That's the Alexandrian text. They had a lot of Hebrew literature there in their libraries there. It was a huge, and the Jews were scattered all over the world. In fact, in chapter 2, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but in chapter 2, when they all gathered together, the Parthians, chapter 2, verse 9, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, Mesopotamians, Cappadocians, those from Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt, Libya, and on, they all got together on Pentecost. Were those Gentiles from all those different places? No. Those were all Jews scattered all over the world, and they came back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. So it wasn't, I didn't know that, until I was starting really studying the text out. Maybe I learned it years ago, but I just thought they were Gentile people from all over, because they're from all over the world. Now, you figure the Jews only live where? Jerusalem or Israel, but that's not true. So they came back for Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and these people from all these places heard the gospel. And I thought, well, good, the gospel is going out into all the world. But in a sense, that's not true. It was going out into all of the Jewish world, not the Gentile. And up until chapter 8 of the book of Acts, the gospel was only preached to the Jewish people. And again, I'll say it again. They didn't have a clue. The promise of an earthly kingdom, and we don't have time to go there, but I want you to write it down and look it up. But in 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, there's a promise made to David that there would be someone that would sit on his throne in an earthly kingdom forever and ever. They would sit on the throne in Jerusalem forever and ever, and they would be the son of David. That's how Jesus stumped the Pharisees and the scribes. They said, well, if the Messiah is the son of David, why in Psalms 110 does David call him Lord? How can he be his son and yet be his Lord? And they went, They didn't have a clue, Pam. They didn't have a clue. Jesus knew. Jesus was the son of David, but he was also the Lord of David. So Jesus is going to sit on that earthly throne. So I have here Acts in Acts 2, verse 30. He says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body," talking about David here, "according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." David, being a prophet, knew that he was talking about Christ sitting on his throne. "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ. His soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses." Okay. So the apostles are preaching this, and they are preaching Jesus as Lord and Christ. In fact, he even says, I know if I wrote that down, it's right in the next chapter somewhere, where they actually call, they said, he made this same Jesus Lord and Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ." And the word says he made him both Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. He's also the Lord. And so they still believed as they're preaching. You ever notice Paul and Peter, John, they all were expecting, if you read the book of Revelation, you read the 1 John, they were all expecting Jesus to come back. They said, man, he is at hand. James says, the Lord, he's at hand. Peter said, you know, hey, the time is approaching. In fact, John the Apostle said, the hour, not just the day, but the hour, the Revelator said that this stuff is going to happen shortly. So they were expecting, Jesus had said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel to all nations, then shall the end come. So they were expecting that they would preach the gospel in all the world, then the end would come. And when the end came, Jesus would come back and he would sit on his throne. Did they think that he meant all of the Gentile world? No. No. They had their focus on the earthly kingdom. Now listen to this. Charlie, there's so much information here that my problem is trying to organize it and order it so I don't bounce everywhere. I want to be systematic about this. I want to get somewhere with this. I want you to understand this. In chapter 3, I think it's Peter that's preaching here. He's talking to the Jewish people, and he's telling the story, just like Stephen does in chapter 7. He's telling the same story. I'll just pick up here in, I think it's verse 17. He says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it, crucified Christ in ignorance, as did the rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord," Pam, "and that he may send Jesus Christ. He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Said heaven is going to receive Jesus until the time of the restoration of all things, and he's saying Jesus is going to come back. That was their focus. You read through there, that's their focus. They're preaching the kingdom of God. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they are looking for Jesus to come back. But something very, very interesting happened. along the way. There was a piece of this puzzle that, for whatever reason, they didn't have. And it wasn't really until Acts chapter 10, when Peter had a vision of the animals, the unclean animals, and they were, animals that they weren't allowed to eat. And in that vision, three times he was told to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, hey, I don't eat. I'm a Jew. I abide by the law. I've never eaten anything unclean. Something very interesting about the way they kept keeping the law, too. All this powerful. Me and Jace were talking. Wish I could get that same role that so I could explain this stuff. It's just powerful in the Word of God. He said, rise. He said, hey, I don't ever eat swine. I don't ever eat unclean food. Did it three times. And then Cornelius had a dream. And he sent for Peter. Cornelius was a Gentile. And so Peter's kind of scratching his head. You know, Jesus just didn't come to... It's funny, Charlie, how the Lord works. Because Jesus just didn't appear to Peter in a vision and say, Peter, I'm accepting the Gentiles. I want you to go and preach the gospel to Cornelius and get him saved. And I want you to start preaching to Gentiles. Why didn't the Lord do it that way? Tracy, why didn't the Lord just do it that way? Just come walking through the wall and say, Peter, I want you to understand. I want you to preach to the Gentiles. There's a guy coming. He's a Gentile. Preach to him. And from now on, preach to all Gentiles. Why didn't he do it that way? See, it would be easier, wouldn't it? Seems like it. I mean, God has his reasons. God does things in his own time and in his own way. And he's always going to do things in his own time and in his own way. One of the reasons I really got in this text, Charlie, I'm still scratching my head about the election. I'm still, and I'm reading this, and they're saying, Lord, you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He goes, it's not for you to know. And that really just spoke to me. Like, Lord, what's going on here? And he's not talking to me about it. He's like, it's not for you to know. That's what I was trying to get across Sunday. I want you to preach. I want you to pray. I want you to believe. I'll tell you when you're ready. Whatever I want you to know, I'll tell you, but I need you to go preach. Same thing here. Jesus gives him a vision. You follow me, Pam? And so Peter has to figure out the vision. They come to the door, and he understands through the vision and the Gentiles that he's supposed to go with them. He still doesn't have a clue, but he goes ahead and preaches the gospel when Cornelius in chapter 10 gets all his family together. And when he's preaching, Charlie, I was a Church of Christ kid. They said you had to be baptized to be saved, right? Physically baptized. Baptism originally was a baptism of repentance. It was a sign of repentance. It was the baptism of John. I could go in here and talk to you about the chapter 19. They asked these Baptists, they say, well, how are you baptized? They said, we got the baptism of John. So didn't you hear about Jesus? And they go, no, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Really? Yeah, and they got baptized in Jesus' name. In this situation, if baptism, and I love my Church of Christ, I'm not going to argue. They can argue their case very well. But in this situation, they're preaching the gospel. These people haven't had a speck of water on them. They hadn't been sprinkled. They had nothing. They're Gentiles. They're wet behind the ears. And when Peter is preaching the gospel, what happened? The Holy Spirit came and fell on them, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. When he was preaching, before anything, they must have believed the gospel. That's the only thing. I mean, they had to believe it, as he was speaking. And of course, they would believe it because the angel sent for Peter. So they're going to believe anything he's telling. Why Peter is preaching the gospel before they were baptized, they didn't give an altar call. Why they're standing there listening to Peter, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and they began to speak in tongues. I'm not making it up. You got to read it. Then after they got saved, and after they got filled with the Holy Spirit, these Gentile people were baptized. He says, we got to baptize them. They're already saved. Who am I to hinder them from being baptized? Then they water baptized them. Isn't that something? Just when you think you got God figured out, he'll throw you a curveball. And then some. Now, this is really interesting. But even at that point, even though the Jewish people, Peter and the apostles, realized that God had accepted the Gentiles, did they start preaching to the Gentiles? That's chapter 10 of Acts. Did they start preaching to the Gentiles? You would think they would, Tracy, but they didn't. In chapter 11, listen to this. This is amazing. In chapter 11, the stuff that when stuff you read in the Bible, you're like, it just blows by you. The chapter 11, I think it's verse 19. The reason I say I think, it's really small print, and I'm here trying to really pick it out, but I think it's verse 19. He says, now those who were scattered, this is chapter 11, which is after chapter 10, after Cornelius was saved, okay? It says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews. Chapter 11. They're still preaching to the Jews. They haven't spread out yet. They still got this focus. Okay, so now, and you skip forward, there's a church in Antioch, and there's these prophets there, and they're fasting and praying. It's Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Mason, and Paul's there. And they're fasting and they're worshiping the Lord and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit says, separate me out, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to do. What was that work? Preach to the Gentiles. They go into a city, Antioch and Pisidia, a different Antioch. Doesn't say they preached to the Gentiles there. Did you know that? They preached. They go into the synagogue. They preached in the synagogue, which means they're preaching to Jews or Jewish converts. That's it. They got the Samaritans in chapter 8. Samaritans are half Jews, okay? Now they go into this city, they're still preaching to the Jews in the synagogue. And it's not until chapter 13, they preach to the Jews here. And in verse 42, it says, when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. That is when the gospel began to be preached to the Gentiles. From that point on, the book of Acts does a shift. Peter is no longer the focus. And the Holy Spirit, honestly, is no longer at that point focusing on the Jews. Do you know in Luke, I think it's Luke 21, 24. Do you know in Luke, let me see if it's 21, 24. Yeah, in Luke 21, 24, when Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, he says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Jerusalem will be trampled under by the Gentiles until when? Till the time or the dispensation of the gospel going to the Gentiles is fulfilled. Flip over to, boy, I wish I could slow down. I don't even have time tonight to dig into it like I want to. Flip over to Romans 11. Stay with me, Charlie. This is good stuff. Verse 25. He says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you would be ignorant of what? This mystery. Pam, are you staying with me? Am I making sense? Are you following? I'm making sense to me. Am I making sense to you? Okay. What I'm telling you is they were only preaching to the Jews. They didn't have a clue that the gospel was going to go to the Gentiles. Even though Peter had preached to them and God accepted them, they were still preaching just to the Jews. God separated out Barnabas and Paul to go to the Gentiles. In the book of Galatians, Paul says that Peter was an apostle to the Jews, and I was an apostle to, right? Yes, Peter was sticking with the Jews. As far as we know, Peter didn't leave Jerusalem. Maybe he did years later. He died in Rome, but he stuck out in the headquarters, and he was the pastor or the head elder, him and James and John, of the church in Jerusalem, preaching to the Jews still. He just went and got it started, then he stopped. God called Paul and Barnabas. Now get this. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Israel's blind. They don't see it. They've lost it. Until when? Just what he said in Luke 21. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Israel is blind. They've rejected their Messiah. And they're blind until all the Gentiles are harvested and saved, born again. And the gospel was preached to the Gentile nations. And then all of Israel shall be saved. What's going to happen? Just like we preached in chapter 3, Charlie, Jesus is in heaven. There's going to be the restoration of all things, the fulfillment of all prophecy. Jesus is going to leave heaven, and he is going to come down, and he is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Could be the new earth, you know, how it's all going to work out. I'm still studying. But he is going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem. His 12 apostles are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And he is going to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And then, you know, then eternity rolls on. Jewish people. Then all, at that point, all of Israel will be saved. But right now, we're in the time of the Gentiles. Jerusalem is being trampled down by the Gentiles. Israel, in part, has been blinded, and we are now in the dispensation of the gospel to the Gentiles. That's how you can understand when Paul, when Peter and John, and they're looking for the imminent return of Jesus, they're not looking at any of this Gentile dispensation. Their minds and their vision, when they're writing the scriptures, they're not thinking about it. They're not thinking about the Gentile gospel. They're not. They are thinking about the Jewish gospel that God gave them to preach to the nation of Israel, and Jesus is going to come back, and that's why they keep preaching that Jesus is Lord. They're going everywhere saying, hey, Jesus is Lord. He's going to sit on the throne and judge. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And they're spreading that gospel. And it's Paul that had this revelation. That's why, do you know in 2 Peter, that I think it's the last chapter, at the very end there, Peter says, Paul preaches some things that are hard to be understood. Did you know he said that? Peter said that about Paul. He said, he preaches some things that are hard to be understood, and people that are unstable, they twist them. Talking about the grace of God. Talking about the dispensations of God. Okay. So they were preaching an earthly kingdom. But did you know that the kingdom of God transcends just an earthly kingdom? There is that aspect of the earthly kingdom of God when Jesus will reign on the throne, those promises will be fulfilled. But Jesus also was revealing the kingdom of God as a mystery, talking about saying things like, my kingdom is not of this world. In chapter 8 of Acts, Philip is preaching to the Samaritans. He's preaching the kingdom of God. In chapter 14, Paul is preaching to the Gentiles, and he's preaching to them the kingdom of God. Pam, in chapter 28 of the book of Acts, Paul was preaching the kingdom of God. In fact, that's the last thing they said he's doing. He's in that hired house. He's going to go see Caesar, and it says he's preaching the kingdom of God. Paul was preaching the kingdom of God in chapter 20, verse 25 of the book of Acts, to the Gentiles in Ephesus. Do you think he was preaching to them about Israel? Jesus sitting on the throne? No, he was preaching to them about the eternal and the spiritual and the heavenly kingdom of God. The kingdom of God transcends just God's dealing with the Jews. Now, I want to give you a proof text here. Man, I wish I had. Maybe next week I'll go into this more, and I'll show you the other side to the kingdom of God. I've been talking about the Jews looking for a king on the throne, sitting on the throne, but the kingdom of God is more than just that. It includes that, but it's bigger than that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, that's the Gentile us, it's the Colossians, these are Gentiles, Pam, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us or transported us or brought us into what? You got your Bible open, Pam? Into the kingdom of God. Charlie, were they already in the kingdom of God? Yes. You have already been translated into the kingdom of God. So when you hear about the kingdom of God and you're studying the Word of God, you have to understand, as you're reading, rightly dividing the Word, is he talking about the universal kingdom of God that is currently going on right now? Right now, Charlie, I'm in the kingdom of God. In the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 14, it's either verse 23 or you can look it up, but he says the kingdom of God right now is righteousness, joy, and peace right now. You've been translated into the kingdom of God right. You're already living in the kingdom of God. We don't have to wait until Jesus returns to be living in the kingdom of God. That's why when these scriptures are given, like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, we've already been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're already, Jesus is already sitting right now on his throne next to the Father in heaven, and we've been raised up, and we already are ruling and reigning with him under his authority and his direction in our union with him. We're already one with him, and we're already living in the kingdom of God where there's righteousness, joy, and peace. There's no time in the spirit, Charlie. You are already in eternity, and you are already in the kingdom of God. I know that the Bible teaches that one day Jesus will sit on that throne and rule and reign from Jerusalem, but it also teaches that we're already in the kingdom of God right now. We're already raised up and seated. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on those things, not on earthly things, for your existence, your being, your life is hidden right now with Christ in God. You're already connected to God. You've already got an inheritance. Ephesians 1:3 says you've already been blessed with an inheritance. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Tracy, it's okay. Just get some water, okay? And be healed in Jesus' name. Get some water. Hallelujah. The kingdom is in us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, or it's even within your midst. I think next week what I'll do at 7:35, I think next week what I might do is then go over and show you how right now we're living in the kingdom. Even though the kingdom is coming, there are some people that just teach the kingdom and they only teach the spiritual kingdom. And then some people think everything about the kingdom is the... Believe me, they're out there. It's just the Jewish kingdom that's coming, and they're going to set up, and they're going to rule and reign. The reality is all of that's going to happen, but we're already living in the kingdom. There's even more to it. It's really, When you study end times and eschatology, it gets pretty involved, actually. It's very involved. We're supposed to come back with Christ when he comes to earth and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. But we already, in the Spirit, can rule and reign with him now. Do you know that the Lord, I got to find this scripture. It's in the book of Luke. He said, I want you to occupy until I come. He said, I'm leaving, but I want you to occupy until I come. He told the church, you go into all the world and preach the gospel, and you make disciples out of the nations, and he says, I'll be with you. So we already are commissioned to occupy. We're already commissioned to go into all the world. We have permission because we have a commission, and no earthly kingdom can stop us or has the right to stop us. Holy Hubert told the story when he was a young boy. He was going through his high school. True story. Holy Hubert Lindsay. I'll get back to the kingdom probably next week. It was one of my favorite subjects. But Holy Hubert was going through his school. He was on fire Christian. He's a young man. And he was preaching to all the kids, getting them saved. And his principal came against him. And his principal told him, you cannot preach in this school. You've got to stop. You're making a nuisance of yourself. And you've got to stop. And I don't remember what Holy Hubert told him, but he told me he had to stop. And I think it shook Hubert Lindsay. Hubert Lindsay was a prophet. He'd been beaten for preaching the gospel. He'd gone blind, been beaten. They beat the sight out of him. God healed him. I saw him preach when he was an older man. He had 3/4 of the Old Testament memorized and all the Old Testament. He was blind again. He had been healed, and he was blind again. And he would stand up and preach, and he had just from his memory quote the scripture and then preach from it. He had preached during the riots in the 60s. The governors would call him in to the campuses. He did in Wisconsin, called him in to preach, and he would go in when they would be, the communists would be protesting. Communism's nothing new. The communists are always disrupting. Communists want to dismantle everything, burn it to the ground, and start over. Communism's wicked. Everywhere communism is, people suffer. There's never been communism anywhere where people don't suffer. Anywhere. How in the world is trying to get in free America? I have no idea. Must be the devil. How you could vote for communists? I have no idea. But he was called in by the governor to go in. They teach radicalism in college. Many of the professors are godless. They teach humanism. When they teach you come from an ape, well, then anything goes right there. If you believe you come from an ape and you've evolved from an ape and you don't have the Spirit of God in you, anything goes. There's no God. There's no morality. Wicked. Well, how'd I get off on that? The Holy Hubert was called in to in these campuses, and they'd beat him. But he got many, many of them saved, and he would preach. He'd preach the gospel from his memory. And when he was high school, the principal told him not to preach anymore. And after some time, a couple weeks or what it was, his principal got struck with cancer, some deadly disease, and he was dying. And he called Hubert Lindsay in, young man, teenager, brave, bold teenager. He called him into his office and says, I'm going to die. And he says, I need you to forgive me because I know that I'm dying because I opposed you preaching the gospel. Hubert Lindsay was preaching one time in a church, and he was preaching about sin. And whatever the sin was, the man in the congregation, he hit his sin, and it made him mad. He got up out of the congregation, cursed Hubert Lindsay, and walked out the back door. And Hubert Lindsay said, sir, if you don't repent, he said, you're going to die. And he even gave him a time period. He said, you're going to die. And the guy cursed him and left. And he didn't tell him that to decree it and prophesy it because he wanted the guy to die. He was warning him. He said, if you don't repent, you're going to die. That guy walked into the restaurant across the way. And the waitress told this story. He came in there railing on the preacher. Who does he think he is? And he told her what Hubert Lindsay said. how he was going to die and how all this nonsense. And he said, just at that time, a guy had robbed a store down the street. And he had a weapon. And the police were chasing this guy. And that guy was running into the restaurant where that guy was eating. And he had a gun. And he walked in the door. And that guy turned up and started, the guy at the counter got up, started walking out of the store. That guy walked in there and shot him and killed him on the spot. Why am I telling you all that? I heard Hubert Lindsay preach, powerful preacher. I heard him myself. Why am I telling you that? Because nobody, nowhere can tell you that you can't preach the gospel. Jesus has already given you permission and authority. You can preach the gospel anywhere. You need to use wisdom. You need to love people. You need to be kind. If you're arrogant, God won't back you up. If you're rude, God won't back you up. But you have authority right now because Lord Jesus has given you authority to preach the gospel. And anywhere you go, if you stand up in the love of God and out of the love of God and you share the gospel and people oppose you, the Bible says in Thessalonians that the Lord will recompense to them. It says He will. It may not happen immediately. It may not happen instantly. But the Word of God says that God will recompense you. Jesus is already Lord. And Jesus is already Messiah. And He is already ruling and reigning on His throne. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And He is already sending you. Therefore, you have the right and the authority to preach. Do it in the Spirit of God. Do it in the Spirit of love. And God will back you up. You just got to stand there and do it. Because the kingdom of God is here. The power of God's here. We're not waiting for an earthly kingdom. It's already here. Father, thank you. I don't know how I got upon all of that, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hubert Lindsay did a lot more than that. You ought to read his story. What an amazing story. Father, just bless the people. I hope I didn't go too far. My Pentecostal roots are coming out in me, Lord. Jesus, I bless you. And you are Lord. And you are Christ. And you do sit on your throne. And you are the Lord of heaven and earth. And you have all authority. The White House doesn't have all authority. The Supreme Court is not the Supreme Court. The courts of heaven are the Supreme Court. The Congress is not the lawmaker. You're the lawmaker. Lord, you are supreme. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. All of our trust, all of our affection, all of our trust, all of our hope, ultimately, Lord, is in you. We may not know the times and the seasons when things are going to happen, but you do. We already have your authority to preach the gospel. Preach it in love, speaking the truth in love, but we have your authority. We already have your authority to feed the poor, to love the homeless. We already have your authority, Lord. And we have your backing. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We pray to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.